know you gotta be a cool soror to talk to the cool soror herself.
I'm a cool soror.
Hey y'all,
I am a cool soror of.
What's up y'all? I'm a cool soror of.
Hi, I am a cool soror of.
Podcast hosted by me, Rashawn Ali.
Now, when I tell y'all I've been trying to track this woman down since the inception of this awesome, amazing podcast. Yep, I just patted myself on the back. Hey, yeah. Robin May is a life coach and licensed therapist, and she joins us on the Cool Soror podcast today. And Robin May is a cool soror of
Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.
Welcome to the show, my dear.
Girl, I am so excited.
Yes.
Sean,
yes.
We have been trying to do this since the beginning.
I know it.
And I have, can I tell you the truth?
Yes.
I've been low-key a little jealous as I have been listening to these people on this podcast.
Yes.
And I said, it is my turn.
It's your
turn. I am getting up there. So I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we are happy to have you here. We have so much to talk about. Robin, you're just innovative. How did you start I Believe in Marriage?
So, Rashawn, you know my husband, mm-hmm. my handsome husband, Lee May.
Yes.
And I remember, Rashawn, I could tell our story. We met at Clark Atlanta University. And you know, back then when we were at Clark Atlanta, the ratio was, I think it was like one guy to every 10 girls,
okay.
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So my husband kicked it in college. I'll just say that. And so we dated off and on throughout college, and it was amazing. And my boyfriend at the time ended up proposing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Rashawn, I don't know if you know this part of the story.
I remember something happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So he proposed. Yes, ma'am. And about 2 or 3 months after the proposal, he comes to my house and says, baby, we need to talk.
Uh-oh.
You know those words we don't play.
You're like, what? What happened?
Yeah, what was going on? Now, mind you, my mom had already started planning this wedding. He says, I just feel like we need to wait. Girl, you talk about, I started taking my earrings off because I thought we were going to fight. But I did take my engagement ring off for Shine, and I threw it at him. And then I started hearing my line sisters in my head honestly mm-hmm. saying, did you keep the ring?
Right.
So I reached back for the ring, kept the ring, put it behind me, and told him to get out.
Uh-huh.
Fast forward, we did not talk after that for about 8 months. Now, this was a big deal for us because we had talked every single day since the day we met.
Mm-hmm.
We went 8 months without talking. And when I tell you, that was the best time for me mm-hmm. and for him, because we started to get centered and get clear about what God was saying to us individually
okay.
and what God had for us together. He came back and began to pursue me again. He had to drive to Dallas, Texas, stand in front of my father and apologize to my father for breaking his daughter's heart.
Ooh, yes. Lord.
He stood in front of my 6-something-foot daddy, over 200 pounds, and said, I apologize for breaking your daughter's heart. That's character. And that's when I knew that the man I knew he was, he really was. He started to pursue me again. Fast forward, we get married.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me, how did I start I Believe in Marriage? Well, what I realized was that marriage is not just about the I do. It's about building after the I do.
Yes.
And I felt like there were not a lot of resources to help us build after the I do. And so I created the I Believe in Marriage Network, because I truly believe, and we'll get into this a little later, but I truly believe one of the most important ingredients that's missing from relationships is that we live on what I call isolation island.
Okay.
We all get in our little homes and we think what's going on in our marriage and our home is the only thing that's going on, and we're the ones that are crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Rashawn, we all have crazy.
We do.
And you need to get with other people, not to tell your business, but just to be encouraged. And so the I Believe in Marriage Network is there to help us all realize what it takes to really build and to build together.
Yeah.
I know that was a lot.
No, but
that's, but
that's what this is about. This is about your journey and your story. I want to go back to when he came into your house or room at that time. Do you believe that was all ordained by God?
Oh my gosh. I truly believe that if we had gotten married at the time we thought we were going to get married, I can't say that we would have gotten a divorce. I can't necessarily say that because of our values, but I can say that we probably wouldn't have a happy marriage, or it would have been very difficult to get to happy.
Okay.
Because I really believe that there was some, and you know, I'm a church girl. My husband, he's a politician, but he's also a preacher. So we are definitely people of faith. I really believe it was something that God was doing in both of us. Mm-hmm. And for Lee, this is what it did for me. When Lee said, all I can tell you is I feel like God is saying not now. He kept saying, I just feel like God is saying not now. Well, not in the moment. I'm going to be honest, not in the moment. But when I looked back, I realized that I'm marrying a man who can hear God speak,
yeah,
but also has the courage to obey him. Because see, that's totally different. Mm-hmm. We can hear God tell us to do something, but do we have the courage to obey?
Yeah.
And here's the deal. My husband is, he, like I said, he kicked it in college, yeah, like most college boys do.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
And girls.
Yes. True. But in his heart, he really is a good man. And so it wouldn't have never been his intention to hurt me. And he would have never wanted to do that. We were best friends. So the fact that he heard God and obeyed him, it really has made it easier for me to trust when he says God is telling him something now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be very transparent with this. For me, what I knew is at the time when Lee initially proposed, I believe he was in a place in my life that he should not have been.
And what I mean by
that is, I believe that he and God were rivaling for the primary spot in my heart.
Okay.
So in other words, I had placed my relationship with him way too high. I was putting way too much pressure on it, way too much weight on it. And God wants all of that. God wants to have my heart ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that. I can't say that I was aware of that until after he called it off and God said, I need you.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that I'm primary, because if I'm primary, I'll take care of everything else.
Yeah.
And so during those 8 months when we didn't talk, I didn't date at all. Let's be honest.
Okay.
I didn't hardly date. I didn't hardly date. And I really had an opportunity to get settled and be sure with me. So listen, when he came back and began to pursue me again, I was a different girl.
Yeah.
He didn't have the same, I don't want to say power, because he's not that kind
of place,
guy.
Place.
He just didn't have the, I kept him in the place that he was supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did your dad, was he angry, or did he appreciate that he did that?
Well, my dad, of course, does not play about his daughter.
Yeah, what dad
you know,
does,
I always
right?
say I don't play when it comes to Lee Mae.
Mm-hmm.
My father doesn't play about his daughter. But the fact that Lee did not just call him, that he drove to Dallas,
mm-hmm,
and stood in his face and apologized. My dad told me that that's a man of character,
mm-hmm,
and that for him to be that young, because, you know, we were young back then,
yeah,
for him to be that young, that spoke volumes. But my dad also said, but I'm not telling you what to do. You're grown.
Yeah.
You have to determine if this is what you want to do, but I definitely give you my blessing.
Yeah. Did you think that during the time that you all would ever reunite, or were you just done at that point?
I thought we were definitely done.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. I felt like my ego was
shattered.
Excuse me. My ego was shattered as well. And I just felt like, because what you got to know, Rashawn, I didn't say this part. At that point, when he proposed, we had been dating for, at that point, maybe 6 or 7 years.
Yes.
And I just kind of felt like, gosh, after all this time, if you don't know.
Like, why you ain't tell me
yet,
too?
Yeah, so I can't stay on this road. This is really what it was. And I think the ladies can understand this. I just decided I was tired of the roller coaster of crazy.
So what exactly do you mean by the roller coaster of crazy?
So, Rashawn, most of us, and I'm talking to the ladies out there, we have to determine when we are tired of the roller coaster of crazy. When you've been in a relationship and you're having the ups and the downs get way too frequent, you have to decide that you no longer want to be on that roller coaster.
Yeah.
And I had to take responsibility, because remember I told you we dated, and my husband and I, boyfriend at the time, dated in college, and it was a lot of ups and downs, and I happily sat down on that roller coaster, strapped myself in, and
yeah,
I went along for the ride. And there came a time when I just decided, you know what, this is not fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not enjoying this anymore. And so him doing that, him shutting down and saying, you know what, I don't think it's time, was a great time for me to realize what I was willing to tolerate and what I wasn't.
Yeah. So with I Believe in Marriage, obviously, you know, I've called you a few times to get advice on a counselor. I know that at the time, because we are friends, you're like, I'm not sure if it should be me. So you recommended somebody. What do you think has happened to marriages, but in particular, Black marriages?
Well, one of the things I believe is happening is that the standard or the ideal, not idea, the ideal of marriage has shifted.
Okay.
You know, back in our parents' day or even maybe beyond that, marriage was what people were striving to. There were things that you got in marriage that you didn't get outside of marriage.
Right.
And nowadays, I believe in this, in our society, we can live married. We can live married without the certificate. We can live married without going before the preacher, without the stigma attached to it.
Okay.
And so I believe that now we've just watered down its significance. And this is the other thing. We live in a microwave society, and you've heard that before.
Yep,
and it's
yep.
kind of like, if this isn't, I'm gonna hit three on that microwave, and if it's not done by now, I'm done.
Yeah.
And a lot of times marriage is the place where iron sharpens iron, where we have to deal with the tough stuff. Marriage is a mirror. We get to see ourselves in our spouse. And if I don't like what I see, I can be out.
Yeah.
Instead of sticking to the commitment.
Yeah.
And I believe our generation has to begin to say, no, let's, I call my girlfriends. I tell them, no, you're going to stick and stay.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to stay. I do. And we're going to stay. And we're going to really build the marriage. And this is what I don't understand. I'm going to get on my soapbox just for a minute. In order for me to move higher or to maintain my license as a professional counselor,
right.
I have to do what's called continued education. I challenge you the next time you go to your doctor, ask your doctor what was the last continued education course that he or she took.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to stay on top of the information. You got to stay advanced in your area of profession. But think about it. We get married. We might do premarital. That might be four sessions with the preacher before we say I do, and then we don't do anything else.
Yeah.
We don't learn what it takes to build a marriage, to know one another, to grow stronger. And again, it goes back to that isolation island. We stay in our homes and our little circle, and we're not challenging one another to grow.
Yeah. Basically, we'll go get our hair weave.
Yes.
We'll go get a perm. We'll go get our natural, get some, what do they call it when you send out the dryer with the
little thingy.
What is it, Lord? I don't know. Everybody out there who's natural is like, what? They don't know it? well, you send out a little mistifier thing.
Hydration.
Yes, there you go.
Yes.
We'll get all of that, but we won't do maintenance in our own
marriage. We will not invest in our marriage. And I cannot tell you how critical it is, because listen, Lee and I have been married now for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been together 23 years. Rashawn, what was cute to me at 25 is not cute to me now.
Right.
What was okay with me when I was 30 is not okay now. What we did before we had these three little girls who are running our home, we can't do that now. And so we have to grow together. And what happens, listen, and I want all the couples out there to hear me. It is very easy to be married and to become roommates.
Oh man, that was one of my questions.
Very easy to live what I call parallel lives, not lives that are turned toward one another, but you're dealing with the kids, I'm dealing with the kids. You're going to work, I'm going to work. I contribute to the bills, you contribute to the bills. What makes our relationship any different than a roommate? And it's very easy for that to happen. And what I call it, Rashawn, is unintentional neglect.
Yes. That was one of my quotes that I actually had pulled out. It's on your blog. It says, when you are not intentional about nurturing your relationship, it will begin to suffer from unintentional neglect.
Absolutely. We don't mean it, but we put our marriage on the back burner.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, I want to give you guys a break. I want you just to take a deep breath if you're listening to this, because I don't want you to blame yourself. I don't want you to feel bad. I just want you to be aware. And it is very easy for it to happen. You know, like I just said, we have three daughters and they're young, 2, 7, and 9. And so, of course, they take a lot of attention and they take a lot of time. My husband runs a county that's just overwhelming. I have my business. And so it is very easy for what's on fire or what seems to be most pressing to get the attention. And he and I neglect what we have going on. It's very easy for that to happen. That's why the key word is intentional.
Yeah.
You have to intentionally invest in your marriage. You know what? For us to do our interview, I put it on my calendar.
Right.
Nothing else could take its place because this was priority to me. Mm-hmm. That's the same thing we have to do with our marriage. We have to prioritize our romance. Let me share this. I could go all day. You know, I'm excited about this. But let me say this, Rashawn. My husband and I, when we went through premarital, we did this program called Prepare Enrich, and that's the program I take my couples through. Actually, you can go through it even now. If you've been married 20 years, I can take you through the Prepare Enrich program. But what it does is it describes what type of couple you are. You and your spouse take an assessment separately.
Okay.
The spouse, the husband takes it, the wife takes it, the fiance takes it. It's called Prepare Enrich.
Okay.
And you answer these questions. It's like a 45, it might take you 40 minutes, if that, to answer it. The person who's doing the assessment gets it. So I'll get your results and it will tell me where you and your spouse agree in key areas of your life and where you disagree and where those areas of disagreement can cause problems in your marriage. So we look at everything. We look at finances. We look at sex. We look at child rearing. We look at spirituality. We look at all those areas. I'm going here for a reason. Let me share this. When Lee and I took Prepare Enrich 15, 16 years ago. As a matter of fact, we took it twice because remember,
the
engagement was called out.
Yeah.
We took it twice, but both times we were what was considered a traditional couple.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you the danger of a traditional couple. The traditional couple has the same values and they could very well end up being married 20 or 30 years. But when the children leave, they could end up separating or divorcing.
Because they put so much into the children.
They put so much into building this image of a marriage and trying to do it traditionally that they forgot to invest in one another. And so when I started I Believe in Marriage Network, that was at the forefront of my mind. Listen, Rashawn, I'm not interested in being married just to be married. I'm not interested in being married and miserable.
Yeah.
I want when my husband to come home, I want to be excited. My daughters run to the door. I want to run to the door too.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that 14 years in, now listen, just like anybody else, he wears me out.
Yeah.
And I wear him out. But 14 years in, I still don't play when it comes to Lee Mae.
Right.
Because we intentionally invest in our relationship.
Ooh. Okay. That was weighty. That was heavy. The roommate zone. I want to go back to that.
Yes.
Because that was the word that kind of got us into this space.
Yes.
Right here. My husband and I have been in the roommate.
Yes.
zone and mm-hmm. we had to come out of it. But sometimes it goes back. We've been married 14 years.
Yes.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are those key levels of intimacy
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
outside of the bedroom?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, again, let's normalize this. If somebody tells you they have never hit the roommate zone and they're married, they're telling you a fib all day long.
Yeah.
Either they are lying or they are in denial, and either one of those are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're listening to this and you're saying, Robin, I feel like that's where I am, it's okay. And one of the ways you can start to tell, think about this. When something exciting happens to you, when you're really excited about something, is your spouse the first person you want to tell? When you are really feeling burdened about something, who do you want to turn to? Those are some of the indications that can begin to tell you whether or not we've kind of drifted from one another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. You just got to be aware. Listen to what I tell people. I tell women all the time, powerful and purposeful women don't bury their heads in the sand. They face the facts and they tell themselves the truth. So if this is where you are, don't be afraid. Just speak it and tell the truth and decide to do something different. So yes, there are different levels of intimacy. And a lot of times when particularly men hear intimacy, they think, well, let's do this.
Right. Right, yeah.
You know,
and
some women are there as well, but there really are other areas of intimacy. And let me share some of them with you. Number one, you want to be spiritually, if you are people of faith, you want to be spiritually connected.
Yes, you do.
And what that looks like doesn't have to look like for you and your husband, doesn't have to look like that for me and my husband. What it is that though, our spirituality is our anchor. That's what we come back to. And how you can build your spiritual intimacy, it doesn't have to be that you're at church every Sunday, but I do want to say that church is a critical piece, because when you worship together, it does connect you. But you and your spouse can just say, you know what, this month, this is the scripture we're going to focus on. And we're both going to talk about this scripture. We're going to see how it is applying in our life. You can text your spouse a prayer every once in a while. The two of you can find an area that you're concerned about and cover that in prayer. That's how you build intimacy spiritually.
Wow.
You also want to make sure that you are intellectually intimate.
Yeah.
So, Rashawn, you know, like I've said several times already on this podcast, Lee is in politics. And so I want him, that's his passion. He lives it and breathes it. I don't want him to feel like he can't talk to his spouse about what he's most passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
That means I need to be up on, I don't have to know all the details of what happens in DeKalb County, but I need to know at least some of what he's focused on. We need to be intellectually connected. I need to know what he's interested in. He needs to know what I'm interested in, and we need to build that intentionally.
Okay. Okay.
Also, of course, physically intimate, but listen, that's not just sex. That's holding hands. That's pulling each other close. That's kissing each other when you see each other at the end of the day. I told you that when my husband gets home, my three daughters go run. Like, it's literally
just like mine. I'm like, what'd I do?
Yeah, hello.
I just carried you. That's all. Dinner's
yes.
ready.
They start screaming, running to the door. But Rashawn, I make it a point after they settle down to just embrace my husband. Mm-hmm. Let's just embrace. Because the reality is, you know, when you were, I don't know about you, but when I first started thinking about marriage, I thought when my husband walked in the house, we'd be able to get it on right away.
Mm-mm. Oh, Lord.
Not with these three kids walking
mm-mm,
around.
Mm-mm.
And so you have to learn how to find those ways of intimate connection physically without it always having to be sex. But sex is important.
Yeah.
So those are some of the ways we talked about intellectually, spiritually, physically, also emotionally. It goes back to what I said. You have to be honest and say, is there a wall up between me and my spouse emotionally? Do I feel safe to talk to my spouse about the tough stuff? And when I say safe, do I feel like my spouse is going to hear me, or are they going to deflect or defend their position?
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to hear my spouse? Does my spouse feel like does Lee feel like when he comes to talk to me that I'm going to hear him, or am I going to shut him down, tell him what he's thinking is not right, or get totally upset about whatever he brings to me?
Mm-hmm.
I need to create a safe space for us to connect emotionally.
Ooh, that's good. I want to go back to spiritual, because that has been a point of contention. I mean, I can be transparent. It's the show that I created. That has been the point of contention in our marriage. He was so good at it, you know, in the beginning. And we've gone through some things where, even through counseling, where the counselor was like, that's the one thing you took away from her because you knew it would hurt her the most.
Mm.
So we've identified that, but it's still not where it used to be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do I then become the spiritual leader?
Well, yes, but not in the way that you're thinking.
Okay.
Let me tell you, if there's anybody else who's in Rashawn's position, I want you to hear this. Your power is in your quietness. You don't have to be the spiritual leader by walking around the house saying, hey, I'm the spiritual leader up in here. There is so much power in you just leading by example in that area.
Okay.
Saying to you, hey, honey, is there something you want me to pray for you about?
Mm.
And then not even where you grab his hand and start to pray, just say, okay, I got you, boo. I got you. And literally start praying. And hear what I tell you. I'm getting excited about this, because watch what God will do. When God starts to answer your prayers in the life of your husband, and he knows that you're praying, God is going to do a work in him.
Mm-hmm.
God is going to begin to awaken something in him. It's not your job. Hear me. You know, I can get a little excited about this, Rashawn, but the Bible says that some plant the seed, some water the seed, but it's God that brings the increase.
Mm-hmm.
And many times as women in particular, we want to plant it, we want to water it, and we want to make the increase come.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for him and watch how God begins to answer your prayers through your husband, and God will awaken something in him.
Okay.
So you may be the spiritual leader in that you might be more spiritually mature, or in this season, you might be more spiritually attuned or sensitive to God's voice. you have to stay on your knees. A lot of times as women, we mess up because we want to talk a lot and we want to shut them down. So we don't realize that that's what we're doing. But when we're coming, when we're being aggressive in their mind in that area, what we're doing is pushing them further away instead of pulling them in.
Ooh, okay. That's some good nugget. Can I say we're getting a free marriage marriage counseling for all my married ladies out there? This is absolutely free. She usually charges for this type of information.
I do. You pay your copay and I'm with you all the way.
This is what I'm talking about. See, this is what the Cool Sorrow podcast will do for you. Free marriage counseling. Okay. You talked about, you know, Lee May being in politics, the interim CEO of DeKalb County. He went through a very tumultuous time.
Oh my gosh.
Having ordered an internal investigation with things that had happened in the past, and then it kind of turned on
him.
Oh
my gosh.
How were you able to be the woman, be the wife that you needed to be for him during that time?
Oh, Rashawn, I'm so glad you asked me about that, because I believe that I grew spiritually, and this was just last year. Yeah. I grew spiritually during that time in a way that I never had, because let me first say this about my husband. Lee lives on five. And what I mean by that is he's very laid back, easygoing, doesn't get worked up about much. I live on 10. The littlest thing will send me over the edge. It's just my personality. Right. I'm more over the top than my husband is. During that time, however, my husband really, he didn't verbalize this. I was just sensitive to it. He needed me to be the steady one. Mm-hmm. He was being attacked on every end. Rashawn, people, the media was showing up at my door, ringing the doorbell, following behind my car. So this was very difficult. And he was having to deal with everything out there. He couldn't come home and have to deal with it as well. Mm-hmm. And so what I worked on is being a consistent place for him to come and just lay his head. Wow. He would come home and wouldn't have much to say, and I would just hug him and pray over him. Mm. He would come home and wanna vent and let out what he couldn't let out publicly. And I would just be quiet and listen. Because hear me, what I had to realize is I am not anointed to be the CEO of DeKalb County, but I'm anointed to support the CEO of DeKalb County. So I had to be clear not to get outside of that role and try to tell him how he needs to govern and what he needed to do. I just needed to be a safe place for him. And so it was a very, very challenging place and period of time. But I will say this, and I just got to shout him out. My respect for him grew to another level as well, because I knew the lies that were being told, and I knew the pressures that he was facing. But you know what he did? He stood strong,
yes,
faced it.
Yeah.
Answered the tough questions. And listen to this, none of us were neglected. Me or the girls were never neglected during that time. And so my respect for him grew exponentially.
And then everything ended up being fine.
Yes, absolutely.
Because God is good. I remember texting Lee, and I think I just said, you know, stay strong and that kind of thing. And he was like, thanks, sis. You know, so I know Lee.
Yeah.
And so I knew, you know, the things that were being said were just not who he was.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that you were able to share your role in helping him through that process. On your Instagram page, which was very interesting to me, because I questioned myself a lot about the type of mother that I am to my daughters. And I will be, as we've said throughout this entire interview, being transparent, I just think I'm an okay mom. I think that I fall short a lot. I think I get snappy a lot, and I correct myself. Sometimes I feel like when I'm with, I may be even more sensitive to my sporty girls, and then I'm more snappy and more like and harder on my own daughters. And I want to be better in that space. And you said you had to bring out a notebook, Raising a Daughter After God's Own Heart. Tell me how you're able to parent your three girls in a way that you would say is exemplary.
Well, first of all, I just want to tell you that your transparency, see, let me tell you what's happening in our society. People are no longer interested, in my opinion, Rashawn, of people acting like they have it all together. That's just played out.
Yeah.
I believe we all want to know that people are genuine and real. And I believe that's the difference. I'm serious. I know this is your podcast. I'm not just trying to hype you up. I think that's the difference about you, that you're willing to be transparent and real, because you're not the only one. I am right there with you. And so your question was, how do I raise my daughters? First of all, we have to remember that my daughters are young. Again, 2, 7, and 9.
I got a 9 and 7.
Yeah. And so I feel often, the reason why I pulled that book out, Raising a Daughter After God's Own Heart, is because I feel often the same way. Okay. I have so many dreams and goals and passions for them, but I don't want to train them up in the way I think they should go. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is older, they will not depart from it. But listen, that word go really means bent. Train them up in the way they are naturally bent. If you look it up, it means train them up in the way they are naturally bent, not in your aspirations, mm-hmm. not in your ideas, in the way God naturally crafted and created them
to be.
Yes. Let me put a side note here. I believe that all of us are called to live what I say is a couture life. Think about a couture garment. One of these days, I'm going to lose this baby weight after I had that last baby, and I'm going to be able to get a couture garment that's a size 8. Mm-hmm. If there's another woman who's a size 8, she might be able to fit it, but it won't fit her the way it fits me, because
right.
that was made for me. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, God gave all of us a couture life, a customized, crafted life that is unique to us. And can you imagine that if at 2, at 5, at 7, 12, and 15, somebody had been raising us in the way we were naturally bent, not in the way that they thought we should be, but in the way God created us. And that's my prayer, Rashawn. That's what I do with my girls. I ask God, help me to see the way Ryan is naturally bent.
That's what I need to pray.
Let me see the way Reagan, Riley, naturally bent, so that I can raise them in that way. And so that's one of the things, Michonne, I pray over them. I literally go in their room, lay hands on them, and pray over them. Mm-hmm. I ask God to make me sensitive to their individual needs.
See, I just need to be more, and my prayers are, they suck.
Yeah, but you know what? Get guided prayers.
Okay.
That book I just told you is really good. I live by Power of the Praying Wife.
Okay.
Like, I wish I had brought it and pulled it out. Like, it's tearing up. Every time I pray one of those prayers, I date it in the book so that I can see God come back and answer it. There's also Power of the Praying Parent. Yeah. I live by that as well.
Okay.
Read it out loud. You can just use guided prayers. And when you get the book, y'all go get it. When you get it, it speaks to different issues. And so, you know, whatever issue your child is dealing with, one of my daughters, I plead the blood of Jesus over her. One of my daughters is dealing, the doctors want to say that she is diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome. We don't receive that in the name of Jesus, but she demonstrates tics.
Okay.
And they're mild tics, but I'm praying and believing God for her healing. Mm-hmm. And she's very aware of these tics, and she also is believing God for healing. And so Power of the Praying Parent has a healing prayer. And so I pray it out loud. And so I just want to tell you that all of us are at that place. Like, I sometimes ask my friends who have older daughters, did your daughter start having a mouth at 9? Because my 9-year-old's mouth is out of control.
Right.
And
I get
so
it.
I looked her in the eye the other day and said, I hate to have to put you out at 9. Like, I hate to have to do it. And so I find myself doing that too. Let me say this really quickly as well. Just today, I asked the Lord to open up some doors in an area of my life so that I could have more freedom to be intentional with my girls. Mm. Because of some situations, I don't feel like I have the opportunity to be as intentional with them as I want to be. Like, I want to be at the school a lot more than I have been this year. I want to be able to do more free time activities with them. And so I've watched God do that for me before. I remember I used to take my daughters to school at 6 o'clock in the morning and go back and pick them up at 6:30 at night. Mm-hmm. And it was because I was working so much and I felt like I had to work that much to make ends meet. And I asked God to open up some doors, and he did. And now they don't have that schedule anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So he will answer those prayers.
Okay.
I know we got off on a tangent. No, I get so passionate
about
this.
It's really good, because I constantly question me being the best parent that I can be, and we all can become better. So I'm definitely going to get that book and be more intentional about my prayer life over them, because my both of them, before we go to bed, before they go to bed every night, mommy, can you come pray over me? Daddy, come pray over me.
Yes.
So
so that means right there, y'all have done something right.
Oh, yeah.
That they have a God consciousness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the start, that they have a God consciousness. And then let them see you praying. Let them see you studying the word. If there's a character issue that you have with that you see with them, because one of my daughters is starting to be really, really, really she's showing selfish tendencies, and so I'm showing her in the Bible what the Bible says about self, not what Robin says, not what mommy says. What does the Bible say about that?
Selfishness. So, yeah. Ooh, that's good. Okay, so Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated, spring 1995.
Yes, at Clark Atlanta University.
Alpha Pi chapter.
Sweet Alpha Pi chapter.
So what made you pledge Alpha Kappa Alpha?
Well, you know what's so funny is I did not grow up with any Greeks in my family. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and I did not have, talking about God consciousness, I didn't have a strong consciousness about sorority life. And sorority life, because it just wasn't around me. But of course, you know, we all grew up watching
a different world.
And it's amazing the impact that that had. Oh. That's really what opened my eyes to sorority life. Well, one of my very good friends, one of my best friends growing up, her siblings were AKAs. I'm not going to say her name because most of y'all know her, but her siblings were AKAs. And back when we were in high school, she had an AKA shirt that she hid in her drawer in her room. And so we would look at it and be so excited about it. And so that's what kind of started my awareness of Greek life. And so then I went to Clark Atlanta University my freshman year, and I was exposed to the ladies of Alpha Kappa Alpha at that time. And I can't even tell you, it never was a question for anything else. Like, I never had in my mind that I had to sort through which one I wanted to
do. You just knew.
I just knew.
Yeah.
One of the questions I know, because I'm a fan of the podcast, you have often asked is, did you choose it or did it choose you?
Yeah.
And I have to say that it really was both. Yeah. Like, I feel like when I saw what I saw and when I began to understand what the organization represented, and this might seem very basic. Sorry to all the other Greeks. I just didn't understand why I would do anything other than the first. Mm-hmm. Like, I just couldn't even wrap my mind around doing anything else than the originators.
Right. Yeah, that's good. I like that. Spring 95. So, I mean, how many were on your line?
Girl, 70.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Y'all more than, look, 54 for us.
Yeah, but what were the AKAs at FAMU? It was...
What do you mean?
I mean, the Deltas had how many at FAMU?
Well, we always had a lot. Both chapters had a lot. Yeah. We're both Beta Alpha too. So.
Yeah. And you know what happened though, after spring 95, I don't know if this was the same at FAMU, but there ended up being a cap after that.
Well,
it was
enough. But you know, we just, we always exceed the cap anyway. But there has been a cap, and I love the schools that actually adhere to it.
I think it's really good. But I want to say this about my sorority, particularly Alpha Pi. Rashawn, I believe that AKA is the reason why I grew up as a woman.
Okay.
Because I can't speak for any other chapter. I can speak for undergrad at Alpha Pi. Mm-hmm. Those are some strong, during my time, very strong women.
Yeah.
Strongly opinionated leaders. And my line sisters hate for me to say this, but I was really one of the youngest people. And so they were older than me. And I felt like a little bit intimidated even by my own line sisters because they were so... I can't explain. They were just really, really strong-willed and
driven.
Yeah. Yes, and knew what was going to happen. This is how it's going to be.
Yeah,
and I had to really fight to find my voice. Like can you believe people don't believe that? But I had to fight to find my voice and. Being with them helped me to find my voice. They laugh all the time because even now, it's 20 years later, I say, y'all, I have found my voice. Well, good, Robin,
finally.
You know? Yeah, finally. And so being with them really did help to shape the woman I am. I'm not afraid of any circumstance because of Alpha Pi.
Man.
I'm not. I feel like I can face just about, if you can get through Alpha Pi,
yeah,
you can get through just about anything.
Yeah, I feel that. I definitely feel that way about Beta Alpha and just everything that we went through as far as Spring 95, just the circumstances surrounding our line and what we had to go through to build the chapter back up, to bring
absolutely
in an awesome line in Spring 97. So a lot of those things that hurt me dearly, still hurt me to this day, 21 years later, but it also made me the woman I am today.
I could high five you because that's it exactly. I truly believe that something occurred, and maybe we had the same similar experience, something occurred during that time that made you dig deep, find resilience to fight through stuff and come out stronger. And it's you know, I really get sad when I hear people say things like, you know, I don't do women, or I couldn't do a sorority because I don't do girls. Like, it really makes me sad because the relationships that you build through that are family. They become family to
absolutely
you. And it becomes a lifelong connection that can really, really take your life to the next level. And you know this, Rashawn, and it's not just with our sorority, but when you meet somebody that is Greek, there's an instant connection.
Instant connection.
There's an instant connection, instant, and you understand one another. And
therein lies the reason why I started this podcast.
Absolutely.
Because, like I've said, and even when I write about this podcast, there's genius in every sorority and every fraternity. And I want to highlight those stories.
Yeah.
Everybody has a story.
Absolutely.
And that was the reason why in radio, on commercial radio, top 10 radio, we couldn't interview somebody unless they were a star, or if they had, if they were with somebody that was a star, quote unquote. Everybody's a star on this podcast.
I love that.
Everybody's a star on this
Call
podcast.
Call me Star Robin.
Star Robin. Oh my gosh, Robin, you have been everything that I imagined and more, and I'm trying to make sure I don't forget anything. You've got books.
I have a lot of books. You can go, it's very easy, you can go to Shop Robin May online to find all of my books. I have a book for singles, Before You Take His Name.
Love
I have
it.
A book for married women, The Intentional Intimacy Project. I even have a devotional for women. One of the things when it comes to devotionals I found is when a devotional was every single day, and I would do good for about a week, and then I'd fall off.
Me too.
And then I'd be frustrated going back, like, oh, I'm so behind. So I created a devotional that's once a week. Mm. Just set a time. You read it on Monday for the full year. You read it on Monday, and then there are questions that you can ask yourself during the week, and then you can come back and read the next one the next Monday. Yeah. And I believe that's really, really helpful. So go to shoprobinmay.com. But I want to share this with you really quick,
sure,
if you don't mind.
Girl, you got all the time in the world.
When it comes to relationships, I want to leave you guys with this nugget. I believe, Rashawn, and I have a webinar. You can go to ibelieveinmarriage.com/webinar. I hate giving all these websites. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
But go to ibelieveinmarriage.com/webinar. And there's a webinar there that I teach, and you and your spouse can watch the webinar together. Okay. If you could invest, just set aside over the course of a week. Listen, y'all, take a deep breath. Hear me. Over the course of a week, just set aside 2 hours for the whole week. So you can break that up, 30 minutes on Monday, 30 minutes on Tuesday, and go through this video webinar, okay? And I'm gonna share with you the 5 reasons couples are often frustrated in their marriage. And I believe, Rashawn, I know this is a big promise, but I believe if you can address these 5 reasons why you are frustrated in your marriage, it will turn your marriage around. So I'm going to give them to you really quick, okay? Number one, many times we are trying to be what we think our partner needs and not what they are telling us that they need. We come into marriage with an idea of what it means to be a wife or what it means to be a husband, and I'm trying to be what I think Lee needs, but I don't take time to say, no, honey, what do you need? Really need. So I can come to you, Rashawn, and say, I am holding it down for Lee May because I make sure he has dinner every time when he gets home. And Lee might say, that's nice, but what I really want is this. So we're trying to be what we think our spouse needs, not what they're saying they need. That's number one. Number two, our expectations and our reality are not aligned. So again, you have expectations of your husband, and many times we have not expressed those expectations. So hear me, I want you to imagine imagine that there are two mountains. On one side is expectations, on the other side is reality. When those mountains are too far apart, there's a big gap. And within that gap, you find hurt, frustration, disappointment. The goal in marriage is to bridge that gap. Bring your expectations and your reality connected, okay? Mm-hmm. Number three, I believe that we haven't developed a conflict strategy. Let me tell you what I mean.
Oh God, that's a good one. I need
Rashawn, most of us deal with the same issue over and over again.
Do.
I know.
Like
once
here
you,
it comes again.
Yes, Rashawn, once you realize it, doesn't it make you feel, but once you know that you're not the only one.
But then we still haven't resolved it like that. But go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Okay.
You just said, you know, I'm not a sports chick. I try to act like I am, but that was an alley-oop.
Okay.
So listen, we all deal with the same issue, but we haven't developed a strategy to deal with that issue. And most of us think, hear me, that the conflict has to be resolved.
Oh, Jesus, give me a high five. It
does not have to be resolved.
I knew I was right.
And that's what drives you crazy, because if resolution means that I agree with you or you agree with me, that may never happen. The conflict has to be managed. You have to learn to manage the conflict, and I teach you that in this webinar. So those are threes. Two more. Number four, we are living, and I talked about this already, on what I call isolation island. We aren't living in community. Now listen to what I mean. I don't believe you go on Facebook and you tell people your business.
No.
And I believe you have to be very intentional about who your community is. I don't talk to anybody about my husband who doesn't have his back and my back. Mm-hmm. If you're just on my team, then I don't need to talk to you about my marriage, because you might take me away from my priority. And so we are living on isolation island. Couples need to create community. You need to have a get together consistently with your friends and encourage one another, build one another up in your marriage. And this is the last one. And this is the one I often get pushed back on. But couples haven't revisited the terms of their agreement. Remember what I said earlier, Rashawn. What happened at year one for you and your husband, it's not going to work at year 14.
Yeah.
But if you never stop and say, you know what, let's revisit some of what we do. You may not change everything, but there are some things that you might change. You might say, you know what, babe, I used to be okay with us going out once a month, but you know, I feel disconnected from you. We need to really try to do more than that.
Yeah.
You need to revisit the terms of your agreement. And some of you who are listening to me are saying, we never had an agreement.
Mm.
We're just doing this willy-nilly. We never sat down and wrote out a vision for our marriage.
It's never too late.
It's never too late. And I walk you through that on this webinar. The webinar is completely free. Just go to ibelieveinmarriage.com/webinar. It's a video webinar. You sign up for it and I walk you through all of that.
I told y'all this was good information. This is a free marriage counseling session, and she gave you a free webinar.
Yes.
On top of that,
yes.
You are amazing.
Thank you. You are too.
I'm so glad you're doing what you're doing. Before we go, I know we had the books, I Believe in Marriage, Friends with Vision. Tell us a little bit about
really
that.
Just really quick, I have what I call, Rashawn, a two-lane highway, and I just can't separate it. All of my business coaches have told me, Robin, you got to do one. I just can't. I am passionate about women and couples. And so ibelieveinmarriage.com is the work I do for couples, but Friends with Vision is the work I do with women. And my goal with women is just a three-part goal. Number one, I want to help them gain clarity on their call in life. Remember I said I believe that we all have a couture life, and
yes.
I just want to help women get clear on what that is. But once you know what it is, I want to help you build the courage to walk it out.
Mm.
Because a lot of times we'll say, I know what I'm called to do. I'm just scared. What is the fear? We hide behind the word fear. You need to identify the fear, replace the fear with the word of God, and walk boldly in your purpose. So I'm called to give you clarity, to give you the courage, and then help you again build the community. Rashawn, you can't go to the next level without your community.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go to the next level without my community. We were not meant to do it by ourselves.
Can't do it alone.
And so I help women create the community to take their lives to the next level. So you can go to friendswithvision.com to find out more about that.
Love it.
Thank you, boo.
You are walking in your purpose.
Yes.
And you don't play about Lee May.
Girl, I don't play about Lee May now. I don't.
Give him my very best. That's my good friend and the girls. And thank you so much. You have helped me. I know that you have helped so many of our listeners out, but you have truly helped me out just
thank
in this
you.
45 minutes that
thank
we've talked.
You.
So
thank you.
I appreciate you. ibelieveinmarriage.com.
Absolutely. ibelieveinmarriage.com and friendswithvision.com. And you can find out all about the work I do.
What about your social media?
All of it is Robin May Online.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Robin May Online, Instagram, Facebook, All of it, Pinterest, everything.
Okay, good. Thank you so much for being
here
today.
Thank you for having me.
Robin May, everybody.
My name is Robin May. I am a life coach and a licensed therapist, and I am a cool soror of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated.